Upland Bible Church, Pastor Richard J. Olson, 920 Upland Boulevard, Las Vegas, Nevada, 89107. Wednesday class, September 6, 2023, 2 Corinthians.
Man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceeds from the mouth of God. Faith comes by hearing, and hearing through the teaching of God's word. And therefore, open the word of God to 2 Corinthians chapter 4. 2 Corinthians chapter 4. And in preparation to worship our Lord this evening, a few moments of silent prayer, shall we? Father, we thank you, sir, for your infinite and your matchless grace. And as we witness, sir, the wheels coming off the wagon in these last days, and as we witness the apostasy and degeneracy of Client Nation USA, we thank you, sir, that Jesus Christ controls history. And as we witness the worldwide apostasy, the satanic attack of Russia on the Ukraine, we thank you that Jesus Christ controls history. And we thank you, sir, that you have magnified your word over all of your name. And therefore, the word of God is more important than the very air that we breathe. And as we assemble this evening to fellowship in the Word, we ask that our teacher, God the Holy Spirit, will set apart the absolute truth of Scripture to the nourishment and to the benefit of each one of our souls. We pray these things in Jesus Christ's name. Amen. Many of you know about Operation Grace World Missions, and there are, come on in. No, if you come in that late, that's $500 you need to give to. Just kidding. But you're a millionaire, yeah. Well, you heard about Operation Grace World Missions, and many of those missionaries we have supported for a long, long time, and they have been here. Ralph LaRosa is now in heaven, but his wife Cindy and son Brian are still in the Philippines and doing a fantastic job, along with all of the pastors and missionaries and teachers that Ralph trained for years and years and years, and they are continuing on. They keep on keeping on. But there's another very excellent doctrinal missionary agency, and that is Village Ministries International, VMI. And they have been here and spoken at our church on several occasions. And they are doing a fantastic ministry around the world as well. And in their September 2023 flyer that they set out. I thought you would be interested in a man named Moses. We first met Moses in the year 2000. He was a shy and humble man who did not speak a word of English. Moses had been born in China and worked as a civil servant for the government for many years, and then traveled to Myanmar. Now that's the modern name for Burma. You probably know it more with the name Burma. Traveled to Burma frequently. Moses saw the great need for Bibles in China. Most churches had only one or two copies. So he quit his job and started making wooden coffins and selling them so that he could take the money and buy a few Bibles to give to the believers in his area. We asked Moses if he would be willing to take some of our doctrinal Christian literature along with the Bibles across the border from Burma into China. His face lit up and he said, "I will try to take as many as you can give us." So we had our books printed, and then he traveled up to a border town with a truckload of about 1,000 doctrinal books and Bibles to take into China. Over the next few years, many more trips were made across the border with books and Bibles, including translations of other languages. Moses was able to go every week to a different town to distribute the Bibles and doctrinal books. If he had been caught by the authorities, he would have been put in prison for at least 3 years. In 2005, after seeing the need, Moses proposed a Bible school on the border, on the Burma side, to train Chinese pastors, some of whom had no more than a month's Bible training before they became pastors. Now, if you only have a month training before you become a pastor, you're a lousy pastor. And that's what happened. This resulted in much false teaching going on in that area of China due to the lack of Bible doctrine. Moses also said that he would oversee the whole building project and live there as the caretaker of the property. Well, we started praying about funds for this, and God provided. For 15 years, Moses ran our border Bible school. Because he had a Chinese citizenship and spoke the language fluently, he was able to easily go back and forth across the border to buy supplies and food for the training sessions. At times, he had no transportation, so he would walk. He would walk across the border. He'd buy a 50-pound bag of rice and carry it on his back. Most of you wouldn't even pick up a 50-pound bag of rice. Carry it on his back and cross the border to the school, a distance of several miles. Even when he was in his late 60s, he was still doing this. Moses handled all the building projects that emerged over the years, kitchen building, dorms, latrines, and his wife did most of the cooking for the sessions of students that came from northern Burma and secretly across the border from China. Over the past 18 years, over 1,000 800 pastors have been trained at this school. 1,800 pastors. Moses was a testimony to all of us of what it means to faithfully and humbly serve the Lord Jesus Christ. We were sad to hear the cancer that he had been suffering from for the past couple of years finally took his life. But we are so thankful that he is out of his suffering and face to face with the Lord Jesus Christ. And we know that our Lord welcomed him saying, "Well done, good and faithful servant. Come and share your master's happiness." Matthew 25:23. Please pray for his family. We know that they will miss him greatly. You should be able to remember his name anyway. Second Corinthians chapter 4, we are in the middle. We've studied, exegeted 2 Corinthians 4, verse 14, which says, "Knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us together with you, you believers in Corinth." And that's where we began the great study of the doctrine of the resurrection. Last week, we studied points 9 through 12. Point 9 was the resurrection and the omnipotence of our God. We studied that in Ephesians 1, 18 to 20, Acts 2, 29 to 32, Romans 6, 3 and 4, 2 Corinthians 13, 4, and Philippians 3, 10. And then point 10 was the resurrection is a part of the gospel, 1 Corinthians 15, 1 to 4. Point 11, the importance of the resurrection related to faith in Christ, 1 Corinthians 15, 12 to 19. Point 12, resurrection emphasizes the difference between a theophany and a Christophany. A theophany is an appearance of Christ prior to the first advent and can be either an animate person or an inanimate thing like the burning bush. A Christophany is an appearance of Christ after his bodily resurrection, and that's 1 Corinthians 15, 3 through 8. Now that brings us tonight, we start out with point 13. Point 13, the resurrection of Christ indicates the completion of the ministry of justification. The resurrection of Christ indicates the completion of the ministry of justification. Turn over to Romans chapter 4. Romans chapter 4, verse 25. The first part of the verse, "He," that's the Lord Jesus Christ, "who was delivered up on the cross," Operation Grace, the cross, "because of our transgressions," our sins. God the Father is the author of Operation Grace, the cross, and in that plan of eternal salvation, God the Son, in his genuine humility, agreed willingly to carry out Operation Grace. And that required the incarnation and virgin birth, that required him taking on true humanity, that required him going to a cross and having the sins of the whole world imputed to him and judged in him. He was delivered up because of our transgressions. Our sins were not imputed to us. Our sins were gathered up and imputed to Jesus Christ and judged in the Lord Jesus Christ once and for all. Jesus Christ solved the world problem of sin. And after he did that through his spiritual death on the cross, then it was his physical death, burial, and then his resurrection, ascension, and session. And that was the proof to the whole world that Jesus Christ accomplished what he came to do. Eternal, provide the solution for eternal salvation for anyone who believes in him. Now the second half. And he was raised for the sake of our justification. Now, this is a very, very important verse. In Romans 4:25, we have the prepositional phrase dia plus the accusative of dikaiosis. Dia plus the accusative. That's D-I-A. And dia plus the accusative means on account of, because of, for the sake of. The best translation here, for the sake of. And then with the accusative of dikaiosis. That's D-I-K-A-I long O-S-I-S. Dikaiosis. And dikaiosis is justification. So one, Christ was raised, resurrection, for the sake of our justification. Christ was raised for the sake of our justification. If there is no resurrection of Jesus Christ, then there is no salvation. That is the culmination of Jesus Christ's strategic victory in the angelic conflict. The demonstration of his strategic victory in the angelic conflict is his resurrection. So Christ was raised for the sake of justification. Two, just as our sins necessitated the spiritual death of Christ on the cross, just as our personal sins necessitated the spiritual death of Christ on the cross, our sins were not imputed to us, they were imputed to Christ and judged in Jesus Christ. So just as our sins necessitated the spiritual death of Christ on the cross, so also our justification required his resurrection. The demonstration that he won the strategic victory of the angelic conflict. So also our justification required his resurrection. Three, as a demonstration of the Father's satisfaction with his Son's work on the cross, as a demonstration of the Father's satisfaction with his Son's work on the cross, the resurrection is proof that Jesus Christ won the strategic victory of the angelic conflict, and that God is righteous in justifying the one who believes in Jesus Christ. So as a demonstration of the Father's satisfaction with his Son's work on the cross, the resurrection is a proof not only that Jesus Christ won the strategic victory of the angelic conflict, but that God is righteous in justifying, declaring righteous, the one who believes in Jesus Christ. Four, because of the resurrection of Christ, God is free to impute His righteousness to everyone, anyone, who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Because of the resurrection of Christ, God is free to impute His perfect righteousness to everyone who simply believes in Jesus Christ. Faith alone, in Christ alone, apart from any and all works. Christ did all the work. You don't do the work. Christ did all the work. You place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. After He finished that 3 hours of the salvation work of Christ on the cross, the 3 hours of darkness and judgment, the darkness left. Jesus Christ was still physically alive, and that's when the world heard the greatest victory cry it will ever hear. Tetelestai, it is finished. What was finished? All the work was finished by Christ on the cross. There's nothing left for you to do. All you can do is place your faith in the finished work of Christ on the cross. That is the grace gospel. And it's very hard today to hear the grace gospel. There are a lot of fundies on TV and on the internet and all these things. And I rarely ever hear the grace gospel. But you know it. You have it. And you are growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ. You know, you understand your two royal commissions. You're commissioned a royal priest to represent yourself before God. And that's what you're doing tonight. You're fulfilling your royal priesthood, representing yourself before God the Father. And you're doing that by consistent and faithful metabolization of the Word of God. Night after night after night, we have it 5 times a week. And then you fulfill your royal ambassadorship. You represent Jesus Christ to a lost and dying world. Point 14 of the doctrine of resurrection is the error. Now there is a good word for wordle, error. E-R-R-O-R. I got to remember that. I always present the first word in Wordle. Error. If I forget, you remind me. The error of speculation about the rapture. 1, the rapture is imminent. Imminent. Now make sure you spell it right. That the rapture is imminent. It's signless and timeless. It can occur anytime. There's nothing, no prophecy that has to be fulfilled before the rapture takes place. It can take place while I'm teaching tonight. It might not take place for 1,000 years. And that still means it's imminent. Now, don't spell it this way. Immanent. God is imminent. God is this. This is the rapture is imminent. Okay, there you go. See? Some of you are even going to learn English. Come into class. The rapture is imminent. This means that no prophecy has to be fulfilled before the rapture occurs, before the resurrection of the royal family of God occurs. No prophecy has to be fulfilled before the rapture occurs. 2, this is taught in Revelation 22, verse 7, verse 12, verse 20. Turn over to Revelation 22. Revelation chapter 22. Don't go to Revelation 23, then you're in the index. Revelation 22. Revelation 22 verse 7 says, "Behold, I am coming soon." I am coming soon. That phrase, "I am coming soon," soon teaches the imminency of the rapture. Now, then it says, "Blessed." That's a terrible translation, blessed. And you know, I know, a lot of funny. My mother was always, "Oh, bless you, my son." Once in a while she said that, not very often. But the word here is Makarios. M-A-K-A-R-I-O-S. That's the word happy. Happy. Happy is the one who keeps the doctrines of the prophecy in this book. All of the fantastic doctrines in the book of Revelation. Who's the author of Revelation? John. The Apostle John. So, "Behold, I am coming soon. Happy is the one who keeps the doctrines of the prophecy in this book." And then verse 12. "Behold," verse 12, "I am coming soon, and my reward is with me, and I will decorate each winner believer according to what he has done." His living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, having virtue, love brought to completion in his heart, having maximum divine good production. And then verse 20. "He who testifies to these things says, 'Yes, I am coming soon.'" So, "I am coming soon." Soon connotes imminency. Now, this statement was made in A.D. 96. That's when John wrote Revelation, A.D. 96. It's now 2023. And throughout all these centuries, the rapture has not occurred. But it is still imminent. In fact, as the Apostle Paul wrote about the resurrection of the royal family of God, he even put it in terms that he was expecting to be in the rapture generation. Three, the rapture could occur tomorrow, or it could occur 1,000 years from now. Four, the rapture of the church does not depend on any human works on our part. It does not depend on human works on our part, but it depends on the sovereign decision of God. God is sovereignty. He is the sovereign God of the universe. He's the quarterback. He calls the play. He's the potter. We're the clay. And this is the matter of the sovereign decision of God. His grace and His power all the way. Five, the rapture will not occur until the royal family is complete. It will not occur until the body of Christ is completed. Right now in the church age, God is calling out the royal family of God. He is calling out the body of Christ. And it will not occur until the body of Christ, the royal family of God, is complete. Now, we do not know who will be the last person to be brought into the royal family, the body of Christ. But when that happens, then the rapture will occur. Six, the time of the rapture, therefore, is God's sovereign decision. But that's true for so many things in our lives. And you, as a believer growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, you are totally confident in God. Totally confident in God. Totally confident in His Word. You know the essence of God. You know He's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. You know that He's infinite virtue, infinite integrity, and infinitely fair with each one of you. Jesus Christ is infinitely fair. He's the one who brought you into the world, and He has a perfect plan. We're not here that long. We're here a very short time. And He already has it set up from His sovereign decision. We have a living faith and we have a dying faith. And we're all going to die, probably die different ways. We're going to go through physical death. Unless we're, I know, don't I? You say, what about the rapture? I know, we're in the rapture generation and we won't die. But however you die and however I die, God is the sovereign God and He's infinitely fair. So relax and enjoy the ride. You've been enjoying the ride during the living phase. Let's enjoy the ride on the dying phase. Kind of like being on an airliner. I haven't been on one for a long time. By the way, some of you are concerned about bad air and COVID and all that. The worst place in the world is an airplane. That's got the worst air ever. Well, you get on an airliner and you're going to, who knows, Timbuktu. I don't know why, but you're going there. And then the engines fall off. Now, when the engines fall off, your airline, 99% of the people in that plane will, and you just ought to sit back and enjoy the ride. For a few seconds, enjoy the ride. Big smile on your face. And you're going to go down, crash, and then go up. Face to face with the Lord. Relax. Relax. The sovereign God is infinitely fair. He's absolute righteousness and perfect justice. He's the sovereign God. He calls the shots. And He's virtue love. And He loves you with infinite virtue love. And He gives you the gift of eternal life. What are you worried about? We're here a short time. We're here to glorify God while we're living. We're here to glorify God while we're dying. And for you as believers that have been growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, I expect you to glorify the Lord Jesus Christ to the maximum in living and dying. So the time of the rapture is God's sovereign decision. The believer, you make decisions. Your decisions must be to live one day at a time. God gave you this day. Thank you very much, sir. You give me one more day. One more day to serve you. One more day to function under your grace and your power, living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills. Thank you for one more day that you've given to me. When you wake up tomorrow, if you wake up tomorrow, He's given you one more day. Thank you, sir, for one more day. We live one day at a time. Not a week at a time, not a month time. And when, you know, I know how you think. You got a vacation coming up. Ooh. Now you're not thinking of one day, you're thinking of vacation. Some of your vacations are a few days. Some of you got to a week. Some of you got to 2 weeks. Some go looking at a month. Just take it one day at a time. Live one day at a time under the grace and power of God, under the true priorities of God's grace and God's provision. And that requires you to have consistent and faithful metabolization of Bible doctrine, which will result in you living the spiritual life, attaining spiritual maturity, and having virtue love brought to completion in your heart. The great motivational virtues of personal love for God the Father and occupation with Jesus Christ, which motivate your great impersonal love for all mankind. 7. In every generation of the church age, the winner believer will anticipate and look forward to the rapture as a part of his occupation with Christ. Sure, we look forward to it. We anticipate it. We look forward to it. Just like the Apostle Paul did. He was looking forward to the rapture. The winner believer will anticipate and look forward to the rapture, the resurrection of the royal family. But that's a part of his occupation with Jesus Christ. Because he's occupied with Christ. Because Christ has made himself at home in his heart. Because Jesus Christ is the most important person in his life. So again, verse 14, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us together with you, you believers in Corinth. All right, now on to verse 15. For all things are for your sakes. We always start with the King James. This is the post-positive conjunction gar plus the nominative plural neuter of pos with the definite article, plus the prepositional phrase dia, plus the accusative plural of the personal pronoun su. We have the post-positive conjunction gar. Boy, that is really sad right there. My Greek penmanship, I get an F on that one. Oh, beautiful. G-A-R, gar. It's an illative gar. An illative gar introduces a reason, correctly translated for. A couple of things. One, the nominative plural neuter of pos with a definite article. And that looks like this. We have ta ponta. That's T-A, there's the definite article. P-A-N-T-A, ta ponta. So with the nominative plural neuter of pos with the definite article, Arnton Gingrich on page 638 says it's used as a summation of what has preceded in the context. Arnton Gingrich, page 638. This is used as a summation of what has preceded in the context. Two, what has preceded in the context? Point two, this is a summation of verses 7 to 14. What are the verses 7 to 14? Verse 7, now we possess this treasure in earthen vessels for the purpose that the surpassing greatness of the power may be from the source of God, and not from the source of us. Verse 8. We are afflicted and oppressed in every way, That's phlebo. But we absolutely are not crushed, stenokoreo. We have great inner pressures in our soul, aporeo. But we are not totally despairing, ex aporeo. We are persecuted, dioko. But we absolutely are not abandoned and deserted and forsaken, enkatalepo. We are struck down, kataballo, but not destroyed, apolumi. We always carry about in our body the putting to death of Jesus. That is suffering for blessing for the winner believer. For the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed might be revealed and manifested in our body. Verse 11. For instance, we who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, are constantly being delivered over to death, suffering for blessing, the danger of death, for Jesus' sake, for the purpose that the life of Jesus indeed may be manifested in our mortal body. Verse 12. So then, death, the dangers of death and suffering for blessing, works in us, Paul, Timothy, Titus, Silvanus, but life, the spiritual life, is working in you because of all of the sound doctrinal teaching given to you. Verse 13. But by means of having the same spirit of faith, that's faith rest, as a problem-solving device according to what is written, the quotation of Psalm 116:10, I believe, that's David, David faith rest life, spirituality in the Old Testament. Therefore, I spoke, I communicated the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. We also believe, Paul and his team living the faith rest and spiritual life. Therefore, we also speak and communicate the absolute truth of Bible doctrine. Verse 14, knowing that the one who raised the Lord Jesus will raise us also with Jesus and will present us together with you, believers in Corinth. So, point one was ta panta is used as a summation of what precedes. Point two, this is a summation of verses 7 to 14. Three, ta panta is correctly translated for all this, or for all these things, or for all this suffering for blessing, since that's the context, and that's the best translation. For all this suffering for blessing described in verses 7 to 14. Four, all this suffering for blessing that Paul experienced was for the benefit of the Christians like the Corinthians. And then the preposition dia this time, dia plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. So now we switch from dia plus the accusative to dia plus the genitive. Again, dia. Dia plus the genitive. Arntin Gingrich, page 180, says this should be, when you have it with the personal pronoun su, you should be translated for your benefit. For your benefit. That is the correct translation, dia plus the genitive plural of the personal pronoun su. For your benefit, for all this suffering for blessing is for your benefit. All this suffering for blessing is for your benefit. Then we have the nominative singular of charis with a definite article, plus the aorist active participle of pleonazo, plus again, the preposition dia plus the genitive plural of pleon with a definite article. We start out with, well, the best. Hey, Charis. Here's the definite article, hey, and then C-H-A-R-I-S. Hey, Charis, the grace. The grace of God. Operation Grace. The grace gospel. The grace and truth of the God-breathed scriptures. The grace. And then the verb pleonazo. P-L-E-O-N-A-Z, long O. Pleonazo. Now, when pleonazo is a transitive verb, that means it has an object, you translate it to increase or to bring forth in abundance or to cause to increase. But when it's an intransitive verb, which is what we have, then it means to become more, to become great, to increase in number. But the best translation of the intransitive use of pleonazo is to multiply. So that's how we will translate it, to multiply. And then when you combine this with the prepositional phrase, dia plus the genitive plural of pleon, Arnton Gingrich on page 695 says it should be translated to multiply to more and more people. It multiplies to more and more people. So the corrected translation. For all this suffering for blessing, all this suffering for blessing that Paul and Timothy and Titus and Silvanus were going through, and then communicating all this fantastic doctrine on suffering for blessing, it's for your benefit. It's for your benefit. So that the grace of God, which is being multiplied to more and more people, it's for your benefit, so that the grace of God, which is being multiplied to more and more people. Boy, do we need that. Do we need that in America today? We need believers living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, growing up in the grace and knowledge of Christ, fulfilling the royal priesthood and the royal ambassadorship, so that the grace of God will be multiplied to more and more people all throughout client nation USA. Then we have the accusative singular of El Charistia with the definite article, plus Hina, plus the aristactive subjunctive of periselwo, plus the prepositional phrase ace, plus the accusative singular of doxa, with a definite article, plus the genitive singular of theos with a definite article. Well, we start out, and I guess it's coming up here. Thanksgiving. I know, some of you, Thanksgiving, you're already planning your Thanksgiving vacation. El Charistia. Here's the... God wants you to have Christmas every day. God wants you to have Thanksgiving every day. Every day. Not just on... when you get the turkey out and kill it and cook it. You know. E-U-C-H-A-R-I-S-T-I-A. El Charistia. Eucharistia means thankfulness. It means gratitude. It means giving thanks. It means thanksgiving. And one thing is, this will be a little test for you to know whether you're a winner believer or not. If you are a believer living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, then every single day, every day, in your prayers to the Father, you will give thanks to Him. In fact, that part of my prayer life is gets bigger and bigger and bigger and bigger. I spend more time on that. Just thanking God for who and what He is. Thanking God for His essence. Thanking God for His attributes. And I go through every attribute and thank God for every one of His attributes. Thanking God for His grace. Thanking God for His plan. Thanking God for the unique spiritual life He's given to us in the church. Giving thanks. You'll know when you're a winner believer, because that will be real. Not just you using some words. It'll be real. It's reality in your soul. Where you in your prayer take the time to give thanks. That's what I mean, where every God wants you to have thanksgiving every single day. Christmas every single day. And then we have hina plus the subjunctive. H-I-N-A, hina plus the subjunctive, introduces a purpose clause. It's correctly translated, so that, in order that, for the purpose that, and that's how we'll translate, for the purpose that, and then we have the verb periseuo. P-E-R-I-S-S-E. E-U long O. Periseuo. Now again, when this verb, periseuo, is in this time, when it's an intransitive verb, it means to be more than enough, or to be left over, or to abound, or to be rich. That's when it's an intransitive verb. But in our verse, it periseuo is used in its transitive sense. And it means to cause to abound, to make extremely rich, to cause to overflow. To cause to abound, to make extremely rich, to cause to overflow. And then we have the preposition ace. Looks like that in the Greek and the English. That means to. To what? To doxa. To theou. D-O-K-S-A, doxa, that's the word glory. To the glory of whom? To the glory, genitive singular, of Theos, God. To the glory of God. So the corrected translation, for all this suffering for blessing, everything that had been in this context, verses 7 to 14 that Paul has been writing about, for all this suffering for blessing is for your benefit, for the purpose that the grace of God which is being multiplied to more and more people, may cause thanksgiving and gratitude to abound to the glory of God. I just love this. This is a fantastic verse. For all this suffering for blessing is for your benefit, for the purpose that the grace of God, which is being multiplied to more and more people, may cause thanksgiving and gratitude to abound to the glory of God. One. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 15, Paul declares that all this suffering for blessing that he and his team is receiving and experiencing was for the benefit of Christians like the Corinthians. In 2 Corinthians 4:15, Paul declares that all this suffering for blessing that he is receiving and experiencing was for the benefit of Christians like the Corinthians. Two. In 2 Corinthians 4, verse 11, Paul declares that he is experiencing and receiving this suffering for blessing for Jesus' sake. Second Corinthians 4:11. For instance, we who are living the spiritual life by the spiritual skills, winner believers, are constantly being delivered over to death, the danger of death, suffering for blessing, for Jesus' sake. For Jesus' sake. Okay. Three, this illustrates how Paul identified the royal family of God with Jesus Christ. Because the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the head. We, the royal family of God, we are the body of Christ. Jesus Christ is the head. We are the body. So that, verse 11, Paul declares that he is experiencing and receiving this suffering for blessing for Jesus' sake. And this illustrates how Paul identified the church, the royal family of God, with Christ. Four, Jesus Christ is the head, and the church, the royal family of God, is Christ's body. Jesus Christ is the head, and the church, the royal family of God, is Christ's body. And this is taught again and again and again in the Scriptures. Ephesians 5. Turn over to Ephesians 5. In the passage on the divine institution of marriage, verse 22, wives, be subordinate, hupotasso, be subordinate to your husbands, as to the Lord. For the husband is the head of the wife, as Christ is the head of the church, his body, of which he is the Savior. Then look back at Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4, verse 15. But speaking the truth in virtue love, we are to grow up in all aspects into Him who is the head, even Christ, from whom the whole body, being fitted and held together by that which every joint supplies, that's the pastor teacher, according to the proper working of each individual part, causes the growth of the body for the building up of itself in virtue love. And then over in Colossians 1:18, and He is the head of the body, the church. He is the beginning and the firstborn from among the dead, so that in everything He might have the supremacy. And then look over to Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1. Ephesians 1, verse 22, and God placed all things under His feet and appointed Him to be head over everything for the church, the royal family of God, which is His body, the fullness of Him who fills everything in every way. So Jesus Christ is the head, and the church, the royal family of God, is Christ's body. Therefore, point five, therefore Paul's ministry to the church, Christ's body, was also a ministry to Christ. Therefore Paul's ministry to the church, Christ's body, was also a ministry to Christ. All right. For all this suffering for blessing is for your benefit, for the purpose that the grace of God, which is being multiplied to more and more people, may cause thanksgiving, gratitude, to abound to the glory of God. Father, we thank You, sir, for Your amazing grace. May God the Holy Spirit challenge us that these principles become a source of blessing and happiness in our lives. We pray this in Jesus Christ's name. Amen.